Welcome. Welcome to our Sunday school portion of this week's messages from God's Word. And we are coming to you from Grace Baptist Church. Today, a scripture we must understand. That scripture will be 1 John 5:18. This is a scripture that if it is not understood, if it is not taught properly, can be woefully misinterpreted and lead to grave error. 1 John 5:18. If you've ever listened to my messages, you'll know that I try to use a more literal translation of scriptures so very often, and that will be true today. 1 John 5:18. We know that everyone, having been born of God, sins not. But still more, the one born of God guards, protects, keeps himself, and the evil does not hold him. Of course, as we've read that, the first statement appears to be ridiculous and far from reality. As we as true Christians live our lives day by day, we know that everyone having been born of God sins not. Now, unless we understand that scripture in its context, we are confronted with, well, in my daily life, that's not the case. I sin. So how do we deal with this? I've heard a number of interpretations of this particular portion of that verse, but I've never really heard one that well suits the whole counsel of God. But thanks be to God, just this week, God brought me light through some reading I did of John Calvin and John Gill. And folks, this is the perfect example of what we see in 2 Timothy 2:2. Men of God committing these truths to other faithful men. And I pray God that I'm one of those faithful men, that they might teach others. Again, 2 Timothy 2:2. I should be scolded for not following one of the key truths concerning God's Word. We must consider the immediate context. So I'm going to be reading from the immediate context concerning 1 John 5:18. Going to back up in the immediate context to verses 14 and 15. We've studied this just recently. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. It's clear there. John, as led by the Holy Spirit, is saying to God's people that we must pray according to God's will to be assured that we will receive what we pray for. Now listen as I read the next two verses. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin not unto death, he will ask in prayer to God, and he, God, will give him life to those sinning not unto death. God grants the prayer of one Christian for another concerning forgivable sin. Of course, that's intercessory prayer, where we pray for another Christian and we ask God to forgive them. We see this clearly in the model prayer. Forgive us our debts, our, O-U-R, praying for others as well as yourself. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, in this context, we may be dealing with specific sin. Of course, this would involve the sinning Christian confessing that sin and asking for forgiveness. It is God's will to grant such prayer. But we're not through yet, looking at these particular verses. Back to verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should ask about that. The sin against the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to be talking about that, but we know that the sin against the Holy Spirit is a sin unto death. It's unforgivable. It is not God's will to grant forgiveness of a sin unto death. And folks, we're referring to eternal death, the second death. Now, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. There is forgivable sin. If not... all of us would have no hope, no expectation other than condemnation. Now, having been presented with the reality of a sin unto death, John, as led by the Spirit of God, says, we know. And I want to stop right there and consider apostolic authority. We know, says John. John, as an apostle, was led by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, to the degree that his letter is inerrant. This letter that we're reading from. There are no mistakes. Every word is from God. Folks, if that's not true, what do we have in the Bible? We have things that are subject to mistake. Not so with the Holy Scriptures. Now, as through the Holy Spirit, John said earlier in this very same letter, 1 John 4:6, John said this, we are of God. The one knowing God listens to us. The one not knowing God listens not to us. Or the one not of God listens not to us. By this, we know the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. That's what John called him in his gospel. By this, we know the Spirit of truth. And the spirit of error, and that word error also is translated deceit. The spirit of error, the spirit of deceit. Without error or contradiction, John says, we know that everyone having been born of God sins not. How do we deal with that? John has already said in this letter, again in chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This clearly proves that born again sinners sin. If we say that we have not sinned, listen to this. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. This being true, and considering our immediate context, now listen to me, please. This is a message you need to listen to twice, folks. Considering the immediate context in 1 John chapter 5, the meaning of our key verse today must be, we know that everyone born, having been born of God, sins not unto death. That's the meaning of that verse. We know that everyone having been born of God sins not unto death. Look at the context. It's right there. They're immediately together. And as we read further, we see more concerning that eternal, unchanging truth. We know that everyone having been born of God sins not unto death. Maybe now, without forgetting what John said about all Christians sinning and confessing their sins, and that all those who are born again will not sin unto death, let's apply that truth to other verses in John in his first letter. Let's look to 1 John 3:9 and learn more. 1 John 3:9. Everyone, having been born of God, does not sin. What's the meaning there? It means they don't sin unto death. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him, remains in the Christian. That seed, folks, is Christ. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. He cannot sin unto death because he's been born of God. Remember, the death spoken of here is the second death, eternal death in the lake of fire. If you have been born again, the seed of God, the Spirit of Christ, remains, abides in you. That seed, folks, is life, even eternal life. Therefore, Christians, those who've truly been born again, cannot sin unto death. Question, I have a question for me. And a question for you. How do we know Christ abides in us? Well, John in this letter answers that very clearly. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Again, 1 John 4:13. Only you can answer that question for yourself. Now let's look further at our abiding in Christ as a result of being born of God. Again, 1 John 3:6. Whoever abides in him, abides in Christ, does not sin. What's the meaning there? Does not sin unto death. That's the meaning of this language. Whoever abides in Christ does not sin unto death. If you have been born again, Christ abides in you, and you abide in him. Therefore, you will not, indeed, you cannot sin unto death. You have eternal life in the eternal Son of God. United to the eternal Son of God, who is life. Now, back to the rest of our key verse. 1 John 5:18. We know that everyone having been born of God sins not unto death, but the one born of God protects, guards, keeps himself, and the evil does not hold him. The King James Version, and most all translations, interpret the Greek word as evil one. It's just one word, but they interpret it as the evil one. This is me. I believe that falls far short of the evil, just like in the model prayer, at the end of the prayer, speaking of the evil. The evil that Christians face every day. What is that? Is it just Satan? No. The evil all Christians must contend with includes this present evil age, this evil world, our evil flesh. Come on, folks. It's in us. It's part of us. And the evil one, the devil. So I'm saying it would be best to translate that. We protect ourselves. We guard ourselves. We keep ourselves. And the evil does not hold us. I think the King James there says touch. That is one translation of that word. But friends, think about it now. Does the evil not touch you? You know, does it not touch you? No, folks. The evil's all around us. It's inside us in our flesh. We don't want the evil to hold us, to control us. We must not take for granted the truth that, now listen to me, we do not sin unto death. We don't, but don't take that for granted, folks. We must realize what the end of verse 19 clearly states. The whole world, I think the King James says, lieth or lies in wickedness. This is exactly the same word, wickedness, the same Greek root word that we saw in evil in verse 18, in the evil. The whole world, friends, is situated in the evil. That's the world we live in. The whole world is situated in the evil. We protect ourselves. We guard ourselves against the evil so that the evil does not hold us. I want to be real. Though we may have momentary lapses in our Christian lives, anything we do from the heart in obedience to God, and anything we do to keep or protect or guard ourselves from the evil is an evidence of God working in us to will and to do of His good purpose. Remember this, without Christ, we can do nothing. So when we're doing properly, please realize it's God working in you. Yes, you're doing it, you're working it out, but it's God working in you both to want to and to do of His good purpose. The world, the flesh, and the devil war against our souls and would take us captive. They would hold us if possible. Therefore, we must protect ourselves as prescribed in the Holy Scriptures. So may I read some of those scriptures for you to encourage you, to assure you in your battle against evil so it does not hold you. While you realize that you cannot sin unto death. Thanks be to God. Ephesians 6 verses 10 and 11. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 3:16 speaks of God granting His people to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inward human being. And what does that do? Enabling us to resist the evil hold that the world, the flesh, and the devil desire to have over us. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might, according to His, God's, glorious power, unto all perseverance, endurance, and patience with joy. Now, in and of ourselves, on our own, folks, we don't even begin to approach that. Perseverance and patience with joy in the face of all the evil attacks that come upon us. The battle is overwhelming and may be long, depending upon how long the Lord God lets you live in this life. But God will give you the strength to endure patiently with joy. You cannot have except Christ abides in you and you in Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are honest, whatever things are true, then whatever things honest, whatever things just, and that means righteous, whatever things pure, holy, whatever things lovely, whatever things of good report, if any virtue, And if anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Without exception, all these are found in Christ alone. Christ alone. Think upon that. Now, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 and finish reading that letter. John goes on, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. And he's come in the person of the Holy Spirit, folks, the other comforter, the other advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has given us an understanding, the Spirit of Christ, that we may know him. Folks, that does mean to know about him, but folks, it means so much more. It means to intimately have fellowship with Christ, to know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. In here, meaning eternally united to Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. If that eternal life abides in you, and you in him, you cannot sin. You do not sin unto death. Now, there's going to be coming an amen at the end of this next verse, but I'm not through yet. I've got another portion of things to say after I read this last verse, and then we'll get our final amen. He closes. Now, listen to this, folks. After all we've heard, John closes with this very, very stern warning. Little children, keep yourselves, confine, shut off yourselves from idols. This is the way the letter ends. Confine, shut off, quarantine yourself from idols. Amen, which means so be it. I want to close with this. Though we have great assurance, and we should have, from the Scripture, that our new birth from above enables us not to commit a sin unto death. That's what John 5:18 is talking all about. Because we are forever united to Christ, and we know that. Nonetheless, as I've just read and stated, this letter from God ends with a most solemn warning to quarantine ourselves from idols. This whole world, situated in the evil, our evil flesh and Satan, will war against our souls to get us to worship anything but the one true God. We must be circumspect. We must be vigilant. We must be on the lookout for anything like that in our lives, and we must reject it. God has been so gracious to us to keep us from sinning unto death. We do not sin unto death. Oh, my friends, listeners, be on the lookout and worship nothing but the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.